You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Haydock, Yarmouth and Worcester on Wednesday afternoon, Hamilton and Kempton in the evening. So five meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is the Baron himself, John Babb.
Hiya.
How are you, John?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, all good.
Enjoyed
yesterday and enjoying this afternoon's racing. We take a little break and we're going to talk about tomorrow. So
yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, good couple of days on William Hill Racing Radio. He's going to give us the winners for Wednesday as well. He's got the first 3 days of the week all boxed off. We're on the verge of Royal Ascot as well, John. So we must talk about some of the stories regarding that. The first two stories are pretty much absentees. So Vizierabad is going to miss the Gold Cup after suffering a knock in his prep race. And Somi Dar will miss the Prince of Wales Stakes, having picked up a muscle injury. So those are a couple of absentees. With regards to those two races, would it affect your opinion all that much?
Well, obviously, Vizierabad, you're taking out the second favourite. And yeah, I'm guessing now, I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing Orders and George, as you've just flashed it up on screen, that has now gone odds on. And we've seen quite a few, it's been pointed out in the press today how people are looking at a big batch of short-priced horses this year, and looking back to what happened at Cheltenham a couple of years ago, and people are envisaging these Ackers that are running around the 20-1 mark and that sort of thing that people are putting together, and could cost the industry an awful lot of money. And if they've put them on yesterday with Order of St George at 5-4, I mean, then they've got a little bit of value in that race, haven't they now?
Yeah.
That's for sure, because one of the dangers is taken out, and probably, I think in some of the Ackers they were showing, Order of St George was the only odds against shot, and even he's now odds on.
Yeah.
So if the first couple go in, the industry might just be wobbling.
They'll be panicking, won't they? Yeah. We see it every year at Cheltenham, people putting short price favourites together. We don't necessarily see it as much at Royal Ascot.
No, we don't, no.
But that seems to be the case this time around. Yeah. And you've got the likes of Churchill, who's odds on, a banker for a lot of people. You've got Order of St George, there odds on. There seems to be some real, would you say, standout horses this time around, where the fields are usually more open?
Yeah, I guess so. Obviously, you've got a double classic winner in Winter, haven't you, that looks a little bit dominant in the fillies division as well. So, yeah, and Churchill, who's missed the Derby this year to go to Royal Ascot. So, yeah, they do look a little bit difficult to beat, to be fair. And they've been sort of very much, the top of their division, or targeted at the particular races, as in the case of Order of St George. And so, something's going to have to, but I mean, I quite like Big Orange in that. I think he's a very, very likable horse. Mm. Whether he's going to be able to make all the running and keep going around there, I don't know. But I mean, for me, on a going day, he could do. He could be very difficult to beat.
Yeah, so he's 12-1 as well.
Yeah,
so
he is. Yeah,
you're getting a nice bit of juice in the price to find out. And his win at Sandown, he was perfectly entitled to win the way he did. But he showed that he's in fine form.
He's in good form, and he'll probably build upon that as well. So yeah. And the Ascot track lends itself to his style of racing as well.
Yeah. Speaking of the Ascot track, for the first time, we're gonna have a slight change with Wesley Ward's preparation going into this. He was going to take his horses to the Rolling Mile and work them there on Tuesday morning, but the ground too quick. Interestingly, they're going to let him run them at Ascot. They're going to put a bit of water down and let him try them on the track, which is, well, he's usually very prepared and usually brings out a huge threat. Does that makes it even stronger, doesn't it?
Well, obviously they are getting a look at the track and getting a feel of it, which it's a marginal advantage, because obviously they're 2-year-olds and there will only be a couple maybe that are running at the meeting that have run at Ascot and actually had a taste of that track. So yeah, it will have an advantage, but I just find it a little bit odd that they're actually allowing horses to work on the track in the week before a festival meeting, when it would be all hands to the pump to make almost sure every single blade of grass on that track is in pristine condition for the opening race. I'd have thought only the Queen's carriages would have gone up the track before the first race. I find that a little bit strange. Surely there are other tracks that the horses could have had a blowout on, or an all-weather surface or something. The horses are obviously being housed somewhere. Other trainers are working their horses at home. I just find it slightly bending over backwards, allowing them to do that myself.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest. I don't quite know why. And what if a British trainer says, actually, on that same day that Wesley's working his horses, can I just bring mine and just work down behind them? I wonder what the answer would be. I suggest it might be no, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah. I suppose the idea with Royal Ascot is that they're trying every year to make it more of an international flavour, and if they can accommodate the US Raiders, then maybe that's why they're trying. I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a bit conjecture.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Anyway. In terms of best bets for Royal Ascot as well, before we move on to Wednesday's action, you got anything that you're particularly looking forward to seeing run, or anything you want to, you're keen to side with at this point?
I mean, in terms of seeing run, for me, I mean, obviously life is very much about betting, but it's one of I've often gone away on holiday for Royal Ascot, and you can generally get to see at least the races that are covered on terrestrial TV when you're abroad and things like that. And I'm quite happy being captain. I'll go to the pool in the morning, read my book, and I'll very often come in and just for a couple of hours and watch the Ascot. I haven't got to have a bet. I just love watching it. The races are great to watch, and they're exciting to watch. You get involved in them. I mean, to be fair, if I was on holiday and there was racing on from anywhere else and it was just a normal week, I would never bother watching them.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy watching these. I mean, because I'm a flat, you know, watcher more than a jump, but I prefer this to Cheltenham. I know Cheltenham's probably your biggest thing, and I would not that, but you know, Ascot's brilliant viewing.
Yeah.
Not always great in terms of betting, because the international flavour actually makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Very much more difficult to quantify. The same as Cheltenham does with the Anglo-Irish angles. People like Andy, who have a bit more of a feel for the Irish, do have a little bit more of a lead into the races than somebody who doesn't follow the international. But if you bring in horses from Australia, America, France and whatever, and they're competing against it, it's great to watch, great viewing, but not always the easiest to bet on.
Yeah, because a lot of the time you're just going purely on reputation rather than being able to compare things, aren't you? So, but it, like I say, it adds to it as a spectacle. I kind of would always say Cheltenham is the pinnacle of racing for me, but you've got to take your top hat off to Royal Ascot, because that week is super, the first day in particular.
Yeah,
you start with a real bang there. It's absolutely superb. Got less than a week to wait until it's all underway as well. You'll be able to hear all of the action, of course, on William Hill Racing Radio with the thoughts of Srantini McCoy along the way. We'll have Ken Pitson in the paddock as well, and you'll hear all of the action with tips from the pundits in the studio. In terms of your best bet then, John, what would you side with at Royal Ascot?
Well, I think that, as we've been discussing on the radio show, that I think at this stage the handicaps are interesting, and they're going to be what people are going to be looking forward to a lot next week, but they're very difficult to assess the week before. So mainly looking at the stakes race, I'm trying to eliminate the sort of short ones, really, which we've just touched on. I don't really want to be going saying, my best bet's the odds on. So looking at those that are odds against, the horse that I think really captured me and my imagination a little bit in the last week or two is Laugh Aloud in the Duke of Cambridge. I was very, very impressed with the performance of Goodwood recently, and just looked a rapidly improving horse that I can see it ending up in Group 1 company fairly soon, to be fair. I would say Duke of Cambridge at round about sort of 2-1, that sort of price, maybe a little bit better if you're looking, would be my best bet in the Duke of Cambridge Stakes.
All right, best bet then, Laugh Aloud in the Duke of Cambridge. For John there then, let's move on to Wednesday's action. We'll get John's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, John's been poring over the form book, and he's come up with four races for us on Wednesday. The first of them is the 3 o'clock at Haydock Park. It's a Class 3 handicap over almost a mile. A field of 11 set to go to post for this one. Three-year-old handicaps aren't always the easiest puzzles to solve, so I'm guessing something must have caught your eye in here.
Yeah, I mean, there are one or two horses in here that, you know, obviously are on the radar as improvers, and horses that are a little bit still unknown quantities, such as Omaros from the Hugo Palmer stable, been off, you know, best part of 8 months, once raced and a winner to boot. difficult to say how that horse is going to be coming back and how it's handicapped. But the one horse I like in this field is one that's progressed from a fairly lowly rank, been running sort of down in the sort of class six, five, certainly five, might have been class six company, I think, to start with when it started in handicaps. A horse called Fire Brigade from Michael Bells started out its progress on the all weather. But this last two performances show me a rapidly improving animal. When it won at Newmarket, it was impressive. Then it was unlucky at Haydock. Did get behind in the race. Not a great track to get behind. Obviously, this is Haydock tomorrow as well that we're talking about. But it was a good race, and the horse came home with some purpose. And I think there's plenty left in this horse's handicap mark. And I think it's just a horse that's going forward. With other horses to touch on, obviously you've always got to have a little bit of a look at the Dascombe horses at Haydock. They just seem to have some kind of an extra injection when they go to this place. But I'd be disappointed if Sidewinder could beat Fire Brigade. As I say, Omaros is interesting, once race could be anything, but for me, Fire Brigade, if you can just have a little bit more luck in running, hold a decent position around the bend into the straight, it'll take an awful lot of beating tomorrow.
Fire Brigade, the selection for John then in the 3 o'clock at Haydock Park. Our next look is at the 4:40 at Yarmouth, which is a handicap, a class four event, over a mile. Just the six of them this time around. We've got Chief of Chiefs and Ross Wraith Rover that arrive here in winning form. Couldn't really rule any of them out entirely here either, John.
No, you five four-year-olds and 1 5-year-old in this Yarmouth handicap. Yeah, it's an unusual one for me because we're on quicker ground. I'm actually going to end up going for a bottom weight that's going up in grade here. And if we'd have wound the clock back a few months, I would never have quite envisaged that I was going to be tipping this horse, King Oswald, from the James Unit Yard, in a race like this. But after its penultimate start was a cracking performance on this track over the straight mile. When the horse travelled very well in the race and quickened up very, very well in the last furlong and a half, in the style of a horse that's just sort of suddenly found itself. I think he has had breathing problems in his time. I think the key to it is finding the way to ride him to get the best out of his performance. I do think he needs to sort of be travel strong, be held onto, and just play for that burst of speed that he showed that day. He got lost at Bath last time, going wide round the bends. I think it was a foggy old day, and he went very wide. But he ran through the line very, very well. He looked like a horse still in good form. And it's interesting that James Unit has targeted going from his Wolverhampton base back over to Yarmouth, where he won well two runs ago. He'll be in higher grade. And I think, given the run of the race, I think King Oswald could pay to follow tomorrow.
All right, King Oswald, then, the selection in the 4:40 at Yarmouth. Next up, we head to Hamilton Park then for their 7:55, a class six handicap over a mile for this one. A field of 14 here as well, quite an open-looking handicap at first glance.
Yeah, it is. It looks top-heavy at first, but then you have to sort of have a second look at the horses down at the bottom, because obviously they're three-year-olds in against their elders, and these races are just starting to come a bit more thick and fast now, the three-year-olds and upwards races. But none of the three-year-olds really grabbed me, unless there was a big market move for them. I'm happy to look over them in this particular race. The two horses that stand out in this field, firstly, number four, Brother McGonagall, who improved for the step up in trip to a mile. He had been shaping well, suddenly went up from six furlongs up to a mile and won well. Carries a penalty tomorrow. But again, we need to just keep a little bit of an eye on weather tomorrow. The ground at Hamilton is soft, showers are forecast. And it's certainly where we are, we're not really anywhere near Hamilton, but the north of England, I think, is fairly overcast at the moment compared to the south of Britain. And in the belief that it won't dry up too much and stay on the soft side, I think Richard Guest's horse, Sakhalin Star, he is a bit of an enigma, because he's often threatened to win more races, and he's probably chucked one or two away for punts, and certainly chucked one or two away when I've backed him a couple of times. But he has not had things necessarily go right for him in a couple of runs, particularly the run at Wetherby. When he got to the front, he was travelling all over the field and just got to the front too soon. You can't get to the front too soon on Sakhalin Star. He won't get to the line if you get to there two out, even probably one out, to be fair. He needs to be delivered late. In a field like this at Hamilton, where you'd expect a strongish gallop, front runners tend to be suited, you know, in some ways around here. So there'll be enough horses going to the front and setting a gallop. But this track should lend itself to him to travel well and have a gallop to run at. And Sakhalin Star, who went on back onto the all-weather last time, coming back onto grass on a softer surface, which will suit. Connor Beasley, good jockey, strong handler, can deliver him late. And I think if he's an each-way price, I think you have actually got an absolute bet for nothing with Sakhalin Star in this race. I couldn't see him out the frame. I know he's a difficult horse to win with, but he'd be my selection there. And if he's anywhere around about 9-2, 5-1, 11-2, I'll definitely be backing him.
All right, got each way bet then, potentially in Sakhalin Star in the 7.55 at Hamilton. And the final race we look at is the 8.40 at Kempton Park. We finish with a class 4 handicap on there at Poly Track over 7 furlongs, a field of 10 for the final race we look at. Who'd you like in our lucky last?
Yeah, the horse I like here is Charlie Fellow's horse, Twin Point. Got a decent enough draw in store four. Ran a really good race last time at Chester behind Russian Soul. Wasn't beaten far in a very, very competitive festival handicap. And he's coming back here tomorrow to a track where he's won previously. It's definitely a drop in grade. There's some horses in here that are just have nothing really for me in hand of that in hand with their handicap mark at all. Some that find winning very difficult. And Charlie Fellows and Stevie Donny, who have teamed up many times around this track before, I can see Twin Point being the one that's certainly still got some more upside in his performance. So Twin Point, slight drop in grade, back to a track where he's won before. He'll do for me in the 8.40 tomorrow.
Twin Point then in the 8.40, the final selection for John on Wednesday. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary before you go then, John. Let's just confirm these selections for Wednesday.
Yeah, we're going Haydock Park, middle of the afternoon, Michael Bell's three-year-old Fire Brigade. From Haydock, we're going to jump across the country over to Yarmouth for King Oswald in the small field handicap there. Hopefully his turn of foot will prove potent. And then we're going to go to the evening. We're going to have, basically, we're having a selection in each of the four flat meetings, which is good. At Hamilton, Sakhalin Star in the 7.55. Hopefully get a good pace to run at on the soft ground, and he can come and pick them off late. And then nearly the end of the evening, 8.40 at Kempton, Charlie Fellows, Twin Point, Stevie Donoghue on board. He can finish the night off well for us there.
Superb. Good to see you again, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Thank you.
There you go, the thoughts of John Babb on Wednesday's racing then. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Ross Briley, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. Haydock, Yarmouth and Worcester in the afternoon. Hamilton and Kempton in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.